Welcome to the County Conversations Podcast, brought to you by the Florida Association of Counties Institute for County Government, with support from the University of Florida's IFAS. In this podcast, we dive deep into the diverse and dynamic world of Florida's counties with engaging interviews and thought-provoking conversations surrounding the challenges as well as successes of Florida's counties. Each episode brings you firsthand perspectives from county commissioners, government officials, community leaders, and subject matter experts who are shaping the future of our state. We explore a wide range of topics from economic development and public safety to environmental conservation and emerging technologies. Our aim here is to provide a platform for knowledge sharing, collaboration, and inspiration for county officials and residents alike. Whether you're a county commissioner, government professional, or simply interested in understanding the local government landscape, we hope this podcast provides valuable insights and practical takeaways on all things counties.
All right. Commissioner Meeks, thank you for finally coming into the studio.
It's an honor and a privilege to be here, sir.
All right. So I always like to start out with a little background, biograph, where you're from, what your full-time job is besides being a county commissioner, community activities, that sort of stuff. So I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. My name is John Meeks. I'm a three-term county commissioner from Levy County, Florida. I'm a fifth-generation Floridian. My family come here before the Civil War, right after Florida acquired statehood, and we've been in Levy County ever since. So I have deep roots in my home county, but I love all of Florida, and that's part of what drove me to want to do this, to want to serve here, you know, as a county commissioner. My full-time paying job that pays the bills, I own a hardware store in Bronson, my hometown, that I've worked at for 29 years in June. I started in 1995, worked my way up to be the manager for about 10 years, and in 2020 got the opportunity to buy the business from the previous owner, and it's been wildly successful. I've been blessed, and so between that and being the voice of the Bronson Eagles.
Who are the Bronson Eagles?
The Bronson Eagles is my high school, my alma mater.
Yeah.
So I call the football and baseball games. And, you know, a lot of other philanthropy and a lot of other giving back to the community. I'm, you know, member of the AMVET, Sons of AMVETS. I'm a member of the American Legion Auxiliary. Obviously, Football Booster Club and FFA alumni, as well as serving on our fair board. So, you know, busy guy, giving back. You know, I'm a firm believer that when blessings are showered upon you, you should shower those blessings back. And I've been able to do that as a commissioner and in my personal life.
What's harder to call, football or baseball game? And do you have anybody next to you?
No, I'm a one-man booth. I'm I can't think of the guy's name now. Brockmire, if you've ever seen that show. I'm like Brockmire, I'm a one-man booth. So I have to do the play-by-play and the commentary. Oh, so man. It's exciting. I'll be honest, I really enjoy baseball more. I'm kind of a numbers geek. So, you know, I keep a book in the booth whenever I'm calling the game. So I can keep up with what people, you know, have done at the plate and, you know, how many runs, obviously, you know, hits, things like that. But football is a lot more exciting. Unfortunately, Bronson's been down a little bit the last decade. So it's hard to be excited about games whenever they're not going your way. But so I guess to answer your question, the simple answer would be football, because the crowd, whenever they really get into it, it is a very electrifying atmosphere. And I enjoy it.
I couldn't do it. It's an art. I mean, I listen to Seminole baseball here, and it's Eric Llewellyn. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know him. He was an offensive lineman for FSU, but he did the Seminole Sports Radio here for years and years, 1270. But he does that, and he's by himself. And sometimes you can't hear the crowd, so it sounds like he's in a closet. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like it's so hard to do that. So I didn't know you were FFA.
Yes.
What does that entail? I know
So FFAs, Future Farmers of America, we live in a very agricultural heavy community in Levy County. And really, you know, agriculture or FFA is more than cows and plows. It is leadership. It is public speaking. It is teamwork. Things that really relate to what we do as county commissioners. I encourage any young person who has the opportunity to take ag classes and to join FFA. There are tremendous opportunities there to help you be comfortable with speaking, comfortable with dealing with the public, and really takes a introvert and can create an extrovert out of them.
So boys and girls or just boys?
Boys and girls, yes, sir.
And so it sounds kind of like 4-H in a way, right?
It's in a lot of places, it's like 4-H is for the elementary age kids, the younger kids, and then whenever they get into high school and they can take ag classes, then they can join FFA. So a lot of kids transition, but not always. My boys, they still do both. They do 4-H and FFA. I have a senior, a sophomore, and an eighth grader, and they all, you know, cross the line and do both.
But who runs that FFA?
It's run through the school, and so you know the ag teacher typically is the FFA advisor. So it's just like an extracurricular activity.
So it's not, so 4-H is obviously IFAS, so but it's, yes, nothing like, it doesn't have that sort of affiliation or tag to.
No, it's not. It's okay. Not affiliated with the, you know, no, okay, with IFAS or anything like that. No, sir.
Got it.
It's a national organization. I mean, there's a national FFA, the state association, and then each school that, okay, wants to participate.
I didn't know that. So you started talking about your county, ag. Let's talk about that. Can you describe your county from your perspective?
Oh, man, it's heaven. It really is. I mean, I'm sure everybody would say that. Can't think of any place else I'd want to live. It is great. But we are a very rural county. We're a very large county. I think we're like the 7th or 8th largest county area-wise. But we're down, way down in the 40s population-wise, so we're very spread out. And we have a lot of ag. We have a lot of timber, a lot of silviculture. We have a lot of row crops. We grow a lot of watermelons and peanuts. And we have a very robust cattle industry. And we are actually second to Marion County in equestrian activity, horses. You know, shocked to find that out. We actually are in the top 5 in production of many, you know, cattle, peanuts, watermelons, and horses. So very, very diverse agriculture. And we're starting to grow a lot of row crops now, which has made a comeback, you know, vegetables that we didn't have for probably a decade and a half.
So if I'm to ask my wife where's Levy County, she's probably going to have a problem identifying it. So you have a neighbor to the north, a neighbor to the south, and then something out to the west.
To the east.
Excuse me. Well, I'm to the west. I'm not...
Oh.
You're a coastal county.
Yes.
That's what I meant.
Okay. So. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are right on the Big Bend. We are in the middle, pretty much, of the Big Bend region of Florida. Dixie County is to the north. Citrus County is to the south. Alachua County, home of the University of Florida. Our good friends at IFAS are to the east of us, and we are nestled on the Gulf Coast, but we are south of the Suwannee River. So we were not blessed with the beaches that other Florida counties have. We have a lot of coastline. It's great for fishing, great for shellfish. I mean, we have the number one clam industry in at one point on the whole East Coast, definitely in the Southeast. You know, so great for all that. We just don't have the pretty white sandy beaches.
Did the clam industry get impacted by that last hurricane?
Horribly. They, okay, horribly, a lot, you know, all the surge and all the wind really decimated the industry. I mean, there's folks here from the aquaculture industry in Tallahassee this week talking to our legislative delegation about trying to get some funding, some gap funding, because, you know, it's like any other crop. You plant it, takes about 18 months for it to grow out to harvest, and they lost They lost their clams in all stages from the first seed planting all the way to what was ready to be harvested. So now there's essentially pretty much 18-month gap in supply. And so, you know, they don't have a crop to harvest, and it's proven to be very difficult.
Do you know how many folks are employed in that industry?
I do not. Not off the top of my head, no, sir. A lot. It really, it filled the void whenever the net ban was instituted in 1994. It really saved Cedar Key from basically, you know, becoming a ghost town. So we're fortunate to have that in Levy County.
And then does IFAS do any work in that industry to help
yes.
support?
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got their...
They have their research center out there.
Yeah.
They're very, very helpful in the clam industry, the aquaculture industry. They are instrumental. The work that Dr. Sturmer, Leslie Sturmer, does in her group is key for clams and oysters, as well as, you know, all the other seafood that's harvested in Cedar Key.
Another plug for IFAS.
Yep.
They do great stuff. All right, so... How long have you been in office?
11 years. So this is coming up to the end of my third term. Still wet behind the ears, as some would say.
I don't know about that. So 11 years, that's a long time. So what drew you? I know you've been a lifelong resident. What drew you to office?
Honestly, it's kind of an anecdotal little story. I had a cousin who's older, who's my dad's age. He was my dad's first cousin. But growing up in the South, you know, everybody who was older than you was either sir or ma'am or aunt or uncle. And so I called him Uncle Donald Holmes. And he was a county commissioner for 20 years. And he, you know, growing up around him and seeing what he was able to do as a commissioner always touched my heart. You know, he was able to help people. He was able to make things happen good for our community, you know, improve roads, improve, you know, services, build parks, things of that nature. And from that time, you know, being very, in my formative years, being very young, I always said to myself that, you know, that's something I'd like to do. And I had a friendship with another gentleman who served after Uncle Donald, who served for two terms. That I worked for and got to see, you know, him in action and see the things that they were able to accomplish, you know, and it's about giving back and being a servant. It's not about being in power or having authority. It you know, I look at it as being a servant leader. And I thought, you know, what a great way to be able to help my county prosper and succeed. And still be able to give back to the community. So that's what drew me to the commission seat.
And it's, I mean, I love Leon County. I'm originally mm-hmm. from Pensacola, but I love Leon County because I raised a family here and went to school here. But it, in many ways, it seems like a very thankless job. I mean, I don't think I could ever do it. I've never thought of it. Do you not view it that way?
You got to roll with the punches, Eric. I mean, it's, yes, there's days where I scratch my head and ask why am I doing this? Why am I seeking re-election? Why am I asking, begging people to vote for me so I can get four more years of this? But, you know, on the days that you actually can help an individual, help a community, help your own county, or, you know, through, like, you know, the Florida Association of Counties, help the entire state of Florida, those rewards are tenfold over any controversy or any other sort of issues that you might have. It really is a rewarding job. You get out of it what you put into it.
So let's get to the root of the matter, because hopefully when we have new commissioners elected in November, they'll get to hear some of the wisdom that you can dispel. So what was it like on your first day, week, month on the job? And what did you...
You know, it was, I'll be honest with you, I really followed politics all my life. You know, I've been friends with people who serve in different capacities, different offices in my county. So I thought I really had a grasp of what county commissioners did. Day one, I realized that I'd know what they do, and then there was 99 more pages in the book of things that I didn't know that they did. It was, I don't want to say overwhelming, but it was very eye-opening, what your responsibilities are. A lot of people think that, you know, we just meet two times a month and that's all we do. But it is really a 24-hour day, 7 day a week, 365 day a year job, if you want it to be. Again, back to what I said earlier, you get out of it what you put into it. If you are dedicated to do the job and do it correctly, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. I'm something that I find funny today, but I was very shook up about was, I mean, I couldn't even follow along hardly in our agenda book the very first meeting. I mean, things were moving so rapidly and, you know, and we had all our backup materials and there were no tabs. So trying to flip through and stay caught up was a little bit overwhelming the first time, but it wasn't very long. I got the grasp of it. And I feel that, you know, through the educational programs that are offered through ICG, the CCC courses, the ACC courses, the new commissioner workshops, it really kind of fast-forwarded my learning curve. And in my second year as a commissioner, we had an election cycle and we lost our chairman and our vice chairman. And so I was appointed chair over some, you know, two senior commissioners who had served much longer than I had. And, you know, it was a unanimous decision because the board, the two outgoing commissioners and the two that were remaining had enough faith that I would be able to do it. And then from that point, I served five consecutive years as chairman.
Wow.
So I enjoyed every minute of it. Again, I guess to summarize your question, the answer for that is it can be very daunting at the beginning. It, you know, people have compared it to drinking from a fire hose because there's so much coming at you. But again, if you compartmentalize and work through it and are willing to listen to your county attorney, listen to your county manager or coordinator or whatever you may have, listen to your staff, they certainly will point you in the right direction and make your job a lot easier.
So you chaired for 5 years in a row.
Yes, sir.
When you're at the dais, how is that role different than when you're sitting, you're not a chair and you're just sitting at the other end of the table?
Well, the one of the biggest differences is you are responsible for maintaining order. So you have to, you know, really be paying attention to the people at the podium, the people in the audience, staff. I mean, you have to kind of be on your toes. You have to keep the meeting rolling along. You certainly want to keep things moving in a timely fashion. And, you know, to be the chair, you really have to be well-versed on every item on the agenda. You have to understand and know what's going on. Whereas if you're just a rank-and-file commissioner, you know, maybe you can, I don't want to say coast, but maybe not pay as much attention to detail. But the biggest thing is just maintaining and managing the meetings, keeping them moving and being sure that the public gets heard, but you don't get bogged down with too much public input or too much input even from your fellow commissioners. Sometimes you have to kind of cut them off so that, you know, you can keep the agenda moving. Other than that, the other challenge with being the chair is whenever you're the chairman, it doesn't matter where the issue is. If it's in the north end of the county, the south end, the east end, or the west end, people want to talk to you because you're the chairman. They think that, you know, you're the guy in charge. And so you really, in my case, really took on the lion's share of a lot of responsibilities from because you were the chair.
So obviously you're chair of the ICG. You've done a great job.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed working with you over the past year and a half. You've always seemed to be a proponent of the training and the education programs. Can you just talk a little bit about that? And is there any particular one class, or is it just kind of the accumulation over time of just getting to meet other commissioners and staff?
It's a lot of things, and that's a really good question. I'll start by saying, you know, I'm again kind of a kind of a nerd about things. So I really enjoyed the CCC level classes because they were really like meat and potatoes subjects. You know, there was statistics and facts and things that you learned.
Yep.
Whereas with the ACC level classes, it was more cognitive thinking and teamwork and team building and concepts and ideas. And I'm a big fan of facts and black and white. And so I really enjoyed the learning part of the CCC level classes, but I equally enjoyed the team building and the camaraderie that came from the ACC and the ACC level 2 classes. The best and the most important part to me, though, beyond learning, is the relationships that you build with other commissioners, that you build with staff, like we talked about earlier in the board meeting. It's friendships that you carry with you for a lifetime. These are people that you can talk to about business, about commissioner business, about life. They're really like an extended family.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Commissioner Constantine said whenever he's driving back towards his county that he would stop by mm-hmm. here. Is that true?
Yes, sir. Yes, he has.
So that's awesome.
He stopped multiple times in visits and, you know, sometimes buy stuff, which is great. He stopped by with his mother before and, you know, and introduced me as his friend and showed her my store and, you know, and it's...
That's cool.
It is really... Commissioner Burroughs has stopped. I mean, a lot of commissioners over the years have stopped in to say hello on their way up to Tallahassee or their way home. So
Becky, too.
Yep.
That Becky. Is very, very cool. The last question is, what advice, one or two things, would you give a new commissioner coming from campaigning to governing?
The difference between campaigning and governing is night and day. Whenever you're on the campaign trail, you say a lot of things, you do a lot of things, you have a lot of great ideas, things that you would like to put into play. And then once you get elected, you realize that the reason that nobody's ever done any of these things is because in most cases you cannot do them. They're either illegal or not permitted, or the state has come in and preempted you from being able to do it. It is a huge learning curve. But the best pieces of advice that I can give, I would give to a new commissioner today, that I would give them tomorrow, that I would give forever, is, you know, build a good relationship with your county staff, with your attorney. I mean, you may not always agree with your attorney, and you may disagree and butt heads on things, but their job and their purpose is to keep you and keep the county out of court. So whenever they give you advice, you may not like it, but my advice to you is take it. Herb Teal told us that in ethics, our new commissioner workshop, one or the other, a long, long time ago, and I took it to heart. And it has been part of why I've been successful. Because even though I may want something to be done a certain way or have an idea about how things should go, they know the law, and they're going to keep you out of trouble. The other thing is to build a good relationship with your county manager, or in our case, we have a county coordinator, because they are going to be your sounding board for ideas, for thoughts, plans for the future, those sort of things. Beyond that, you should definitely have a good relationship. You know, different size counties have, you know, different levels of employees, but, you know, get to know all your staff, understand what they do. Go out to the road department, to the parks department, transit. If you have a transit, construction maintenance, whatever it is, go meet those folks. You know, and understand what they do, and or get an idea of what they do, and you know it'll help you be more successful in how you can help them in the future, how you can help them do a better job, which in turn makes you look good in your job. So definitely have a good relationship with staff. And then always remember that the people put you in this position and they can take you out of this position. So that is who you are ultimately responsible to, is the public. Take care of them, take care of your staff, and listen to good advice, and you'll be a successful three-term commissioner like me.
Well, you're lucky to live in Levy County. I think Levy County's lucky to have you. And
well, thank you.
We've certainly been lucky to have you as a member of FAC and ICG. So glad I got you in here.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.